Now Mike or Kōrero with Karen. A warm welcome to A Chat with Karen. I extend a gracious invite to all listeners from near and from far, all cultures, all religions, and all races, all demographics, all colours of the rainbow. Tēnā koutou katoa, and welcome to all.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
So, welcome to What's Up in the Mata, or in English, What's Up in the Garden. So, we are fast heading into springtime, and it's now time for spring planting, including sprouting seed potatoes, to ensure you get a beautiful Christmas harvest. Most potato crops will take about 3 months to fully mature, so be sure that you get them in the ground during September so that you get a Christmas harvest. And also, if you enjoy a strawberry or two, be sure to continue planting your strawberries to also ensure you have a plentiful summer harvest. As the days get longer and the temperature's warmer now, it's the time to be on the lookout for the first buds on trees and shrubs starting to plump up and get ready to burst into blossom and or fruit. This is an exciting time indeed in the Mara. I have compiled a little list that I'm going to be popping into my garden. But of course, there's a plentiful array of plants that you can get into the ground at this time. But here's just a few of my faves. We have broccoli, celery, coriander, lettuce, citrus, potatoes, roses, spinach, spring onions, and calendula. Now it's time for a bit of music. This track is written by Gary Jules and it's called Mad World, and it certainly does feel a bit that way sometimes, doesn't it? Well, especially at the moment, it seems a little madder than usual with all this COVID crisis. This song was actually first written in 1982 by a group by the name of Tears for Fears. Surely nothing could have been mad about the 80s, right?
I'm dying, are the best I've ever.
'cause it's a very, very
I do hope you enjoyed that. Isn't it a special song? Well, guys, it's now time for our Life in the Kahini segment. Okay, so welcome to Life in the Kahini. And in English, kahini means kick. Today I'm going to be discussing a topic that is very much relevant to kitchen life, and that is water. Because in the kitchen, you pretty much cannot go cooking or using a recipe without the use of water. More specifically, excuse me, I'm going to be talking about the Auckland water supply. Just because of the recent inclusion or increased inclusion of water from the Waikato River. Definitely worth doing a bit of research on. I certainly learned a lot, and I'm really looking forward to passing on some of that knowledge to you guys. And also, it's very relevant because within the media, we've had issues with contaminated water supplies. Particularly in the southern areas, in Ashburton of recent times, there's been a lot of nitrate found in their water supply. Nitrate's definitely a contaminant of concern, with it being directly related to bowel cancer. And then, of course, we have the release in the media with regards to the lead content in, I'm not sure what region that was, but it was in one of the reservoirs down south as well, and that's very concerning as well. So something we really need to be aware of, and most certainly our officials need to be aware of this. So let's just talk about Auckland for now. The region's water supply is actually drawn from dams, rivers, groundwater and springs. And the exact proportion supplied from each source varies daily. The Auckland Council organisation, Watercare, has been appointed to source and supply the region's water. Now, just to clarify, an Auckland Council organisation is one in which the Auckland Council has a collaborative relationship and has the right to appoint 50% of its directors. So, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. When I hear stories in the media about issues, you know, regarding contaminants in our New Zealand's water supplies, I sometimes, a part of me feels that it's probably good to have an organisation as large as the Auckland Council certainly having its fingers in the pie with this one, just keeping tabs on safety and whatnot. So let's talk a bit about the Waikato River now. So the Waikato River is our longest river in New Zealand. It runs 425 kilometres from Mount Ruapehu through to the Tasman Sea. It has been supplying water to Auckland since 2002, actually. But over the past 12 months, water from the Waikato has accounted for up to 30% of our total water supply in Auckland, which is actually three times that drawn 2 decades ago. So we certainly are taking a lot more these days. The water from dams in the Hanua and Waitakere ranges near Auckland City comes from protected areas that are mostly native bush. So these require relatively low level of treatment to meet water standards. And groundwater is usually free from bacteria and has very low cloudiness and contaminants around these ways anyway. But water from the Waikato River travels through a number of different environments on its journey to the water treatment plant at Tuakau, which is just south of Auckland. There's runoff from farms and industry, and this has a huge impact on the quality of water And for this reason, it does need to go through a more sophisticated treatment process. Before treatment, the Waikato River contains sediment, high levels of nitrogen, and this would come from the nitrates that I mentioned earlier with regards to Ashburton, high levels of phosphorus and feces and the microbes associated with feces. There is also a fair bit of heavy metals, some of it natural and some added by Contact's Wairaki geothermal power plants. Contact aims to modernise this plant and stop all discharges of separated geothermal water into the river by 2026. And did you know that in Hamilton they say flush twice, Auckland needs the water? And it's true that Hamilton's treated sewage actually goes into the Waikato. Thank goodness it's treated. About 9% of nitrogen in the river is from Hamilton's sewage, the same amount as that from meatworks industry. But a whopping 70% of the nitrogen comes from non-point sources, largely intensive agriculture. I suspect that this is what's happening down in Ashburton, where there's intensive dairy farming happening. So the actual treatment process is worth a mention too. So the controversial Tuakau treatment plant and pipeline were built after the 1994 drought. And because we are having a lot more droughts these days and our population in Auckland is significantly increasing, this is the reason why we're going to be extracting a lot more water from the Waikato River. So the water goes through a screening process, and this removes objects such as rags, paper, plastics and metals, with the main purpose of preventing damaging clogging of downstream piping and equipment. Then the water goes through coagulation. Now, coagulants such as highly charged aluminium sulfate, which is used by water care, are added to the water, and doing so creates an attraction among the suspended particles, and this removes a wide variety of hazardous materials from the water. Then after this, it goes through clarification. The clarification process involves the use of clarifiers, which are settling tanks. And clarifiers work on the principle of gravity settling and enable the removal of solids by sedimentation. Then the water goes through filtration. The water passes through two filters. Firstly, it is forced through an advanced ultrafiltration membrane with tiny pores. This membrane looks a lot like white straws tightly packed together, and this sophisticated membrane is able to remove pathogenic organisms, even spores, which is a relief to know considering we have a lot of fecal parasites and viruses and other such microorganisms in that river water. Next, it is passed through a granular activated carbon filter, where any particles are absorbed as well as any unpleasant tastes or odours. The carbon filters apparently have nematodes and other things growing on them which aid the filtering process, which I think is quite interesting. And then the final treatment applications include chlorination, fluoridation and finally pH adjustment where lime is added. So there you go. That is our sort of science-y episode today, guys. And just so you know, at least in Auckland, I've checked all the documents regarding the water quality and water testing results, and everything seems to be, even the nitrate levels seem to be all hokey mai and safe. So good to know. So we're going to break things up now with a really upbeat song. It's a bit of an oldie, but a goodie. It's called Lady and it's by Mojo.
tonight, 'cause my feeling is just so right as we dance by the moonlight. Can't you see you're my delight, lady? I just feel like I won't get you out of my mind. I feel love for the first time, and I know that it's true. I can tell by the look in your eyes.
So welcome to Time with Atua, or in English, Atua meaning God. And we're going to be talking about trusting in God and not so much your ego. So what is ego? Well, simply put, the ego is what makes you think you're you. And ego is often tagged as the saboteur or prankster that will lead us on a self-serving path of decision-making. Meditation is one way you can connect with your ego. However, it isn't necessarily guaranteed to connect you with God. A University of Southampton study states that while meditation itself, as was often practiced by Jesus Christ himself, teaches a selfless worldview, contemporary meditation and yoga practices can actually potentially inflate one's ego. Interestingly, renowned meditation teacher Johnny Pollard believes the ego to be a natural sense of self required to reference personal experiences in relation to others. He believes meditation is a tool used to provide a direct experience of our true self. By doing so, you have the ability to recognize when your view of reality is distorted. In accordance with this, Christian writer Frank Powell believes catching a glimpse of one's true self, even if it's a small one, is a taste of freedom. And this is because in order to truly know God, we actually need to know ourself. To uncover the true self or spirit, as Powell writes, you need to wade through the ego's smoke and mirrors first. And until then, the ego will remain in control of you, which is not good, because this is self-sabotaging and this is unhealthy. So to help you process this, I've got a little passage from the book of Job, a book that I recently read in the Bible. And I'm hoping that this will help you to focus more on God rather than self. So here we go. Job chapter 12, 13 through to 25. From God, we learn how to live. True wisdom and real power belong to God. From him we learn how to live and also what to live for. If he tears something down, it's down for good. If he locks people up, they're locked up for good. If he holds back the rain, there's a drought. If he lets it loose, there's a flood. Strength and success belong to God. Both deceived and deceiver must answer to him. He strips experts of their vaunted credentials, exposes judges as witless fools. He divests kings of their royal garments, then ties a rag around their waists. He strips priests of their robes and fires high officials from their jobs. He forces trusted sages to keep silence, deprives elders of their good sense and wisdom. He dumps contempt on famous people, disarms the strong and mighty. He shines a spotlight into caves of darkness, hauls deepest darkness into the noonday sun. He makes nations rise and then fall, builds up some and abandons others. He robs world leaders of their reason and sends them off into no man's land. They grope in the dark without a clue, lurching and staggering like drunks. Right, so we're going to play some more music, and it's going to be Mad World again by Gary Jules again, but this time it's a drum and bass mix. that brings us to the end of Kōrero with Karen. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with me today. I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as I have enjoyed compiling it and delivering it. You take care out there, guys, and remember, do reach out if you have any questions or thoughts. My email is on my podcast page on planetfm.co.nz. And lastly, but most importantly, don't ever forget that God loves you. May God bless you and keep you. I'll check in with you same time next month. Ka kite e ho.
You have been listening to Kōrero with Karen. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to tune in to Planet FM at 104.6 every fourth Wednesday at 10 past 2 in the afternoon. Or check it out anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/Kōrero with Karen. That's Karen with a Y. Ka kite anō e hoa.